Sing Out Magazine was founded over 60 years ago by a group of folks who loved roots music. Today, it's a vital and entertaining resource for anyone who loves folk music the world over. As in the past, thousands of people turn to Sing Out to read about and learn from the artists who play the music. This is the Sing Out Radio Magazine. This is the Sing Out Radio Magazine, and I'm your host, Tom Druckenmiller. Our theme music this week comes from the CD Mark Twain's America by Jacqueline Schwab. We heard a medley of traditional hornpipes, including Fisher's Hornpipe, the Saratoga Hornpipe, Good for the Tongue, and the Cincinnati Hornpipe. Mark Twain's America is on Dorian Records. Our program this week is entitled Tell Me a Story. The classics of literature have frequently been inspiration for songwriters. Sometimes they put a tune to an established verse, and sometimes the literary selection only serves as an inspiration for a new piece of music. We'll open the program with Mark Twain once again from the CD Mark Twain Words and Music, with Jimmy Buffett as Huck Finn, Garrison Keillor as the narrator, and Clint Eastwood as Twain, with a selection from one of his monologues, followed by a song written by Mary Chapin Carpenter and sung by Emmylou Harris. We're telling stories on this week's Sing Out Radio Magazine.
You don't know about me without you have read a book by the name of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, but that ain't no matter. That book was made by Mr. Mark Twain, and he told the truth mainly. There was things which he stretched, but mainly he told the truth.
Samuel Langhorne Clemens was the sixth of seven children born to John and Jane Clemens. His mother would tell him later that he came into the world with the arrival of Halley's Comet, a cosmic event that occurred every 75 years. And so she predicted greatness for her premature and sickly infant son, whose survival in those challenging times was not typical.
I was born the 30th of November, 1835, in the almost invisible village of Florida, Monroe County, Missouri. The village contained 100 people, and I increased the population by 1%. It is more than many of the best men in history could have done for a town. It may not be modest in me to refer to this, but it is true. There is no record of a person doing as much, not even Shakespeare. But I did it for Florida. And it shows, and I could have done it for any place. Even London, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. brought the baby to the windowsill to see a bit of heaven shoot across the sky. The one and only time Daddy saw it fly. It came from the east just as bright as a torch. The neighbors had a party on their porch. Daddy rocked the baby, Mama said amen. When Hallie came to visit in 1910. Now back then Jackson was a real small town, and it's not every night a comet comes around. Your mother would have said amen too. As his tail stretched out like a stardust streak, the papers wrote about it every day for a week. They wondered where it's going and where it's been when Hallie came to Jackson in 1910. Dream a little dream of comet's charms, and he made a little wish as she slept so sound. In 1986 that wish came round. It came from the east just as bright as a torch. She saw it in the sky from her daddy's porch. As heavenly sent as it was back when Hallie came to Jackson in 1910. Late one night when the wind was
still. Well, there was Uncle L. Nathan Shaw, most regular man that you ever saw. At 4:30 in the afternoon, he'd start to whistle that old jug tune. Take the big brown jug from the buttery shelf and trot down cellar to draw himself cider enough to last him through the winter's night. 3 quarts would do. As regular too as he took that jug, Aunt Shaw would yap through her cross old mug, "Nathan, for goodness sakes, take care, you haulers trip on that second stair. It seems to me you're just possessed to break my jug, and it's the very best there is in town, and you know it too. 'Twas left to me by my great Aunt Sue. For goodness sakes, why can't you lug a tin dish down, for you'll break my jug? Allers the same for 30 years, allers the same old taunts and jeers." Well, Nathan stood it as meek as a pup. The worst he said was, "Please shut up. You know what the good book says befell the pitcher that went to the old time well." Well, whether 'twas that or his time had come, his weak old knees grew stiff and numb, or whether his nerve at last gave in to Aunt Shaw's everlasting chin. One day he tripped on the second stair, whirled around and grabbed at the empty air. Then down the stairs he fell kerwhack and bumped on the bulge of his old humpback. Poor Uncle Nathan, he lay there flat, knocked in the shape of an old cocked hat. He rubbed his knees, brushed off the dirt, and found after all that he weren't much hurt. And he'd saved the jug, his last wild thought had been of that else he might have caught at the cellar shelves and saved his fall, but he kept his hold on the jug through all. He hadn't given the final bump when old Aunt Shaw, she gave a jump and screamed downstairs as mad as a bug, "Dad, rot your hide, did ya break my jug?" The darned old hard-shelled turkle just wanted to know if her jug was bust. Never a word for his tired bones, not a word when she heard his awful groans. "Did ya break my jug?" she was screaming still. "No, dern your pelt, but I swow I will. You'd have thought the house was going to fall when the old jug crashed on the cellar wall."
Aunt Shaw's Pet Jug, a verse written by Maine poet Holman F. Day and put to music by Margaret MacArthur. She put it to Lord Franklin, the classic tune. And that's included on a recording called MacArthur Road, Dan, Margaret, Megan, and Gary MacArthur. And that's on Front Hall Records. We're telling stories this week on the Sing Out Radio Magazine. And before that, we heard a couple of tracks from Mark Twain, Words and Music. We heard a portion of a monologue of his under the title Hello Yourself and See How You Like It. And then When Hallie Came to Jackson, the tune from Mary Chapin Carpenter, sung by Emmylou Harris. The recording is actually on Mark Twain Home Foundation Recordings, produced by Carl Jackson. We are telling stories this week on the Sing Out Radio Magazine. And a couple of years ago, Ann Hills released a recording called If You Don't Watch Out. She sings the poems of James Whitcomb Riley, the Hoosier poet. Here's Little Orphaned Annie from Ann Hills on the Sing Out Radio Magazine.
Little orphan Annie's come to our house to stay, and wash the cups and saucers up, and brush the crumbs away, and shoo the chickens off the porch, and dust the hearth and sweep, and make the fire and bake the bread and earn her board and keep. And all us other children, when the supper things is done, we sit around the kitchen fire and have the mostest fun, a-listening to the witch tales that Annie tells about, and the goblins that gets ya if you don't watch out. Once there was a little boy wouldn't say his prayers, and when he went to bed at night away upstairs, his mammy heard him holler and his daddy heard him fall, and when they turned the kivers down he wasn't there at all, and they seeked him in the rafter room and cubby hole and press, seeked him up the chimney flue and everywhere's I guess. But all they ever found was this, his pants and roundabout. 'Cause the goblins will get ya if you don't watch out. And one time a little girl would always laugh and grin, making fun of everyone and all her blood and kin. And once when they was company and old folks was there, she mocked him and she shocked him and she said she didn't care. And just as she kicked up her heels and turned to run and hide, there was two big shadders standing at her side, and they snatched her through the ceiling for she knowed what she's about. 'Cause the goblins will get ya if you don't watch out. And little orphan Annie says, when the blaze is blue and and the lampwick sputters and the wind goes woo. And you hear the crickets quit and the moon is gray and the lightning bugs in the dew is all squenched away. You better mind your parents and your teachers fond and dear and cherish them that loves you. Dry the orphan's tear and help the poor and needy ones that clusters all about. Or the goblins will get ya if you don't watch out. The goblins will get ya if you don't watch out. Watch out.
Times as it used to be. Pillar of fire into Shakespeare's plays is the most too deep for me. I like plain facts and I like plain words, the good old-fashioned ways, where speech run free as the songs of birds way back in the early days. Something a poor man understands with feelings well as ears. Tell about the old log house, about the loft and the punching floor, old fireplace with the crane swung out and the lad string through the door. Things just as they was, they don't need no excuse. Don't touch them up like the poets does till they're all too fine for use. Say there was 11 in the family, two beds and a chest below, trundle beds that each held three and the clock in the old bureau. Once more, just as they used to do. Blow for Paps till he hears and comes with Thompson and Elias too. Marching home with the fife and drums and the old red, white, and blue. Slow as the moan of a whippoorwill. Wake up, Mother and Ruth and Joe, all sleeping on Bethel Hill. Blow and call till the faces all shine out in the backlog's blaze. Those shatters dance off the O'Hare wall as it did in the early days.
Seventy years ago. undone it again, and now you never would know. There was a road through the woods before they planted the trees. It lies underneath the coppice and heath and the thin anemones. Only the keeper sees that where the ring dove broods and the badgers roll at eaves, there was a road. Summer evening late, when the night air cools on the trout-ringed pools, where the otter whistles his mate. They fear not men in the woods, because they see so few. Beat of a horse's feet and the swish of a skirt in the dew. Steadily cantering through the misty solitude, as though they perfectly knew the old lost road.
This will be Shorty Saloon, written by Johnny Rich in Montana about 1919, and the great cowboy artist Charlie Russell gave him a bunch of watercolors to illustrate every verse, and he put them in a book called Horse Feathers. But anyway, here's Shorty Saloon. By the trail to the past on the plains of no care stood Shorty's saloon, but now it's not there. 'Cause Shorty moved camp and he crossed the divide, and the trail's long dim and naught else besides. A deep brand on memory brings back that old place, and its drinks and its games, and many a face peers out from the mists of days that are fled, when Shorty leaned over his bar and said, "What's yours, pard?" No fine drinks adorned that primitive bar, just liquor was served, and that seemed by far the properest stuff for a place, you'll agree, where life flowed and ebbed like the tides of a sea, unfettered by care, unmeasured by time, where innocence formed its first friendship with crime, and Bacchus' wild court had ribaldrous sway, and Shorty on shift stood waiting to say, "What's yours, pard?" Great herds from the south swept past on the trail, and stages sped westward, top heavy with mail, for camps far beyond where gold was the lust, and whackers and bull trains sent whirlwinds of dust that scattered and spread far out on the plain, and men from the wild, hard men whose sin stain had marked like a brand, all stopped there, you see, and Shorty's brief welcome to each one would be, "What's yours, pard?" And out from the vast, silent stretch of the range, from line camps and roundups and all of the strange lone places in cowland men came there to play. In that drama whose artists all lived by the way, whose skyline in life blazed crimson and gold, for hope gave them wealth and youth made them bold, and strong in life's strife to dare any task, and liquor was theirs when Shorty would ask, "What's yours, pard?" They drank and they danced and they sang that old song, "I'm just a poor cowboy and I know I'd done wrong," to the click of the chips and the games that were played, and the sob and the music the violin made, as it rang out through the smoke that clouded the room, for joy held the top hand and drink drowned all gloom the future might hold for those who would stay, and life filled with sunshine when Shorty would say, "What's yours, pard?" Some tragedies mark those trails to the past. Lone unnamed graves tell briefly the last of the story of those who were gone ere the change from the wild free life of the borderless range. But memory's kind grasp holds gently that place, and its drinks and its games, and many a face peers out from the mists of days that are fled, when Shorty leaned over his bar and said, "What's yours, pard?"
This is the Sing Out Radio Magazine. If you want more information about the magazine, it's easy. Just call 1-888-SING-OUT or check us out on the web at singout.org. You can also listen to the show as a podcast. This is episode 1519. And remember, we're also available on iTunes. This is the Sing Out Radio Magazine, and I'm your host, Tom Druckenmiller. This week's theme comes from the CD Mark Twain's America by Jacqueline Schwab, and we heard The Schottische from the Amir by Victor Herbert. The Amir was an operetta that Herbert wrote, and you might recognize the name. He was the fellow who wrote Babes in Toyland. The recording is on Dorian Records. And before that, we heard from the late Glen Orland, the great cowboy poet, who passed this past year. We heard Shorty's Saloon from Johnny Rich, a poem by Johnny Rich. That's on a recording called A Cowboy's Life from Glen Orland on Rounder Records. And before that, we heard from Cindy Mangson and Steve Gillette from their recording Being There, and a set of verse written by Rudyard Kipling with the music by Cindy, The Road Through the Woods. Rudyard Kipling and Cindy Mankson, and that's on Compass Rose Music. And before that, we heard a couple of tunes from James Whitcomb Riley. We heard Tale of the Arley Days from James Bryan and Carl Jones, and they're recording Two Pictures. Carl actually took that verse and put the music to it. That's on Martin Productions Records. And we let off that set with Anne Hills from her collection of the poems of James Whitcomb Riley. We heard Little Orphaned Annie from If You Don't Watch Out. It featured Cindy Mankson and Priscilla Herdman on background vocals. That's on Collective Works Records. We are telling a story this week on the Sing Out radio magazine. And one of my very favorite musicians is Norman Blake. And sometimes on his recordings, he's kind of hazy about whether he's written a tune or he's collected a tune or found it on old sheet music. But this is one that he actually wrote, which already is a great story. Old Bill Minor, the Gentleman Bandit. And if you've ever seen the movie The Gray Fox with Richard Farnsworth, that's the fellow that's being portrayed in this song. Norman Blake on the Sing Out radio magazine.
Way down in old Kentucky, boys, on one winter's morn, in 1847, old Bill Minor was born. But nothing ever suited Bill, at least that's what they say. And at the age of 13 years, one night he ran away from a ranch to California ranch. He did his life enjoy. When asked his occupation there, he would reply, cowboy. With a Rocky Mountain highwayman, Bill Leroy, some say, they robbed until Leroy was hung when old Bill got away. In Turkey and in London, 'twas there he could be free. A desert raider, slave trader, he soon became, you see. Running guns in Rio, in South America, then robbing trains in the diamond fields of old North Africa. Hands up, boys, hold them steady, the usual command. From old Bill Minor, the gentleman band, with a six-gun in his hand. Robbing trains all his life, he would often say, ain't no jail that can hold me, I'll surely get away. Oh, I'll surely get away. Back home in California, he robbed the Sonora State. San Quentin prison and 20 years brought him to middle age. And they let him out for being good in 1901. The 20th century was young, he bought himself a gun. Up on that mainline CPR, he stopped the fast mail train. Got a life in New Westminster Pen in the old Victoria reign. But Bill was good to his word, he knew what he was about. 35 feet of tunnel in 1907 he dug out. Hands up, boys, hold them steady, the usual command. From old Bill Minor, the gentleman band, did a six-gun in his hand. Robbing trains all his life, he would often say, ain't no jail that can hold me, I'll surely get away. Oh, I'll surely get away. Thank you. that white sold for Georgia in a manner grand and slow. He robbed the Southern Rail Express, his hair was white as snow. Caught by W.A. Minster, that persistent Pinkerton man. Tell me now just who you are, was his gruff command. I am G.W. Edwards, standing in the mud. George Anderson, William Miner, or maybe old Bill Budd. Bill broke out of the Georgia pen in the swampy waist-deep water. They hunted him down with dogs and guns for 3 miles and a quarter. And way down south in Milledgeville, no hope for a pardon. Old Bill tended to the flowers in the penitentiary garden. But sometimes old memories are all that we can keep. And 2 years later to the day old Bill died in his sleep. Hands up, boys, hold 'em steady, the usual command. Mobile Miner, the gentleman bandy, the six-gun in his hand. Robbing trains all his life, he would often say, ain't no jail that can hold me, I'll surely get away. Oh, I'll surely get away.
Thank you. Chester walked in the garden. The garden had fallen still. He bade his soul rise upward and stand on her windowsill. It rose in a straight blue garment when the owls began to call. It had grown wise-tongued by thinking of a quiet and a light footfall. Of a light footfall. But the young queen would not listen. She rose in her pale nightgown. She drew in the heavy casement and pushed the latches down. He bade his heart go out to her when the owls called out no more. In a red and quivering garment, it sang to her through the door. Sha la 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 la. It had grown sweet-tongued by dreaming of a flutter of flower-like hair. But she took up her fan from the table and waved it off on the air. I have cap and bells, he pondered. I will send them to her and then I'll die. When the morning whitened, he left them where she went by, where she passed by. She laid them upon her bosom, under a cloud of her hair. And her red lips sang them a love song till stars grew out of the air. She opened her door and her window, and the heart and the soul came through. To her right hand came the red one, to her left hand came the blue. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la. La 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 la. They set up a noise like crickets, a chattering wise and sweet. And her hair was a folded flower, a quiet of love in her feet. And her hair was a folded flower, a quiet of love was in her feet.
We're telling stories on this week's edition of the Sing Out Radio Magazine. And we just heard from Kyle Alden and his recording Songs from Keats' Be Loud Glade, 13 poems by W.B. Keats, set to music by Kyle Alden. And we heard The Cap and Bells, all about a jester. I'm pretty sure Keats didn't include the sha-la-las, but they certainly sound good. And before that, we heard Kate McLeod recorded live at Ken Sanders' Rare Books out in Salt Lake City. You might recognize Ken Sanders from the Antiques Roadshow. He's one of the book appraisers. And we heard a tune called A Pilgrim's Progress, based upon John Bunyan's classic. That's on Waterbug Records. And we let off the set with Norman Blake from his recording Chattanooga Sugar Babe and his story, Old Bill Miner, all about the gray fox, the gentleman bandit. That's on Shanachie Records. We are telling stories this week on the Sing Out Radio Magazine. And Chris Sanders put a poem by Thomas Wolfe to music, A Stone, A Leaf, which prefaces Thomas Wolfe's Look Homeward, Angel. Chris Sanders on the Sing Out Radio Magazine. Thank you.
a stone, a leaf, an unfound door of a stone. Know our mother's face. From the prison of her flesh have we come into the unspeakable and incommunicable prison of this earth. Which of us has known his brother? Which of us has looked father's heart? Which of us has not remained forever prison pent? Which of us is not forever a stranger and alone? Oh, waste of loss in the hot mazes. Among bright stars on this most weary and bright cinder, lost, remembering speechlessly, we seek the great forgotten language, the lost lane and into heaven. A stone, a leaf, an unfound door.
I think that there was not more than one house on the road to Moluncas, or for 7 miles. At that place, we get over the fence into a new field planted with potatoes, where the logs were still burning between the hills, and pulling up the vines found good-sized potatoes, nearly ripe, growing like weeds, and turnips mixed with them. The mode of clearing and planting is to fell the trees and burn once what will burn, then cut them up into suitable lengths, roll into heaps, and burn again. Then with a hoe, plant potatoes where you can come at the ground between the stumps and charred logs. For a first crop, the ashes sufficing for manure, and no hoeing being necessary the first year. In the fall, cut, roll, and burn again, and so on till the land is cleared, and soon it is ready for grain and to be laid down. Let those talk of poverty and hard times who will, in the towns and cities. Cannot the immigrant who can pay his fare to New York or Boston pay $5 more to get here? I paid $3, all told, for my passage from Boston to Bangor. 250 miles, and be as rich as he pleases, where land virtually costs nothing and houses only the labor of building. And he may begin life as Adam did. If he will still remember the distinction of poor and rich, let him bespeak him a narrower house forthwith.
Upon arrival in heaven, do not speak to St. Peter until spoken to. It is not your place to begin. You can ask him for his autograph. There is no harm in that. But be careful and don't remark that it is one of the penalties of greatness. He has heard that before. Don't try to Kodak him. Hell is full of people who have made that mistake. And leave your dog outside. Heaven goes by favor. If it went by merit, you would stay out, and the dog would go in. Mark Twain.
Pursuing, learn to labor and
the words of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and A Psalm of Life from Malcolm Dauglish and the Oolites and their wonderful recording Pleasure. It's on Oolitic Records. And before that, from Mark Twain, a film directed by Ken Burns, the soundtrack, we heard Kevin Conway and another of Mark's monologues, Advice for Arrival in Heaven. That's on Columbia Legacy Records. And before that, from David Mallet, the songwriter from Maine, the recording is called The Fable True, Stories from Thoreau's The Maine Woods, music and narration by David Mallet. And we heard The Road to Moluncus, that's on Night Road Music. And we let off that set with Chris Sanders from her recording Rare Bird and A Stone, A Leaf, a setting of a poem which is the preface to Tom Wolfe's Look Homeward, Angel. That's on Desert Night Records from Chris Sanders. You've been listening to the Sing Out Radio Magazine. I've been your host, Tom Druckenmiller. If you've enjoyed the program, you can get more information about the magazine by calling 1-888-SING-OUT or by checking us out on the web at singout.org. The Sing Out Radio Magazine is produced at the Little Cat Records Studios. Join me next time for another trip into the fascinating world of folk and roots music on the Sing Out Radio Magazine. This is episode 1519.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, I'd hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd hammer out danger, I'd hammer out a warning, I'd hammer out love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. If I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning, I'd ring it in the evening.